What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 365, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org, I always forget, is it backslash or forward slash? You corrected me on this.
Forward slash Amazon.
It's right there on the screen so you guys can see it. If you go there,
it's leaning forward in the sentence. Like it's.
I always felt like it's going back. Like, but anyways. Yeah, go there, buy some stuff. We get a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast ongoing. And, of course, the person who corrected me there is Ryan. What's going on? Another week, another podcast?
Yeah, we were just talking about, like, time flying by, and it's already, like, almost summer, Memorial Day weekend coming up. My kids today had their last day of school for the year. The pool opened early today, so it's I'm ready to get into summer mode. I've already got, like, some tan going on from being outside at, like, soccer games on the weekend. So
it doesn't look like it, but, you know, Ryan is like a ghost.
Sometimes. My legs, though, my legs are pretty white.
Yeah. No, I've been working so much, and the sun has not been out here in San Diego, which is crazy. I just had a friend in town. I had a friend in town over the weekend. They're like, does the sun come out? I was like, yeah, just not the weekend that you're here.
That's funny.
So, but yeah, no, do you like it having the kids around during the day in the summer? Or
I'm at work. So,
oh yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
My wife who works from home, it's, you know, quite the distraction, but they're getting old enough where they're a little more self-sufficient on things, but we got to come up with like the plan for like chores and like do these things before you can get on your tablet, do these things, you know what I mean?
I was just like, when I was a kid, it was just summer was so much fun.
Oh yeah.
You just like go. And again, this is, when we grew up, we didn't have tablets or phones or any of that stuff. We would just like go out and explore and do all that kind of stuff. So yeah, like you said, Memorial Day is this upcoming weekend. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's here already.
That also means that we have Computex coming up this upcoming weekend as well. So expect a lot of news coming out of there. We will have all of that on the site for you guys as well. But yeah, let's just jump right into reviews. I took a look at a monitor this week from a company that I had never heard of up until CES. The company we had met with somebody and they were in their suite and they kind of introduced themselves. The company is called Yiyin, which I had never heard of. And from what I've gathered, this is actually a Mexican company. They're building their US brand, probably why their headquarters is right by the border. Their US headquarters is literally right by the border. Kind of sort of like down the street from where I live here in San Diego. So, but yeah, they are mainly known for pre-built PCs. So if you're looking at for a gaming PC, Yiyin has, all different types of pre-builts and all of that, but they've kind of branched out into monitors, which I think for any builder kind of makes sense because I think somebody buying a pre-built PC more than likely needs a monitor. So why not have your own branded monitor? That way you can sell it with the pre-builts. It just makes it easier that way. So this is their Sigurd. Sigurd 4000, I guess that's how you would say it, which is a 34-inch ultra-wide, 34-inch max resolution of 3440 by 1440, 165 hertz refresh rate, 1500R curve, supports both NVIDIA G-Sync, AMD FreeSync. And I this monitor, it's 34 inch ultra wide. That's actually the size of my first ever ultra wide was 34 inch. So I definitely know this kind of form factor. It is a big monitor, perfect for gaming, perfect for productivity, video editing, photo editing, all of that stuff. As far as the build quality, it's kind of basic. It's almost sort of like what you expect from like biotech. We reviewed a lot of biotech monitors. It's kind of like a no frills design. There's nothing crazy on this. It's just the monitor, the panel, you have your set of ports. There's no USB hub or anything like that on this. It has your standard like buttons that you see on all these, kind of plain monitors. There's no joystick in the back. There's no software to change settings. It's all on the monitor itself. We have old man in the chat. He said, I like large monitors and I cannot lie. Yeah, this is, like I said, this is a really good size. I have a 49 inch now, but I mean, 34 is a great size, especially if you're considering dual monitors. Just a single 34 definitely gets the job done. Now, they do say that this is HDR 400 as far as brightness, but the max, they list the max nits of 350, which was a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Because the box, not the box, but it, on their website, it says HDR 400, but it is actually not, which was, you know, a little confusing there. But yeah, I mean, like I said, the display, it's a good display. It's a VA panel. So, you know, when it comes to panels that kind of sits in the middle, you have TN, VA, and IPS. IPS really is color accurate, really made for design work. You know, TN is for super high refresh rate. So those 360, 500 hertz monitor that we saw from Asus, those are TN panels. And in the middle sits a VA panel. It's kind of the best of both worlds, really. Most gaming panels, besides super high-end ones, will be based on a VA panel. So that's what you're getting here. You do have that 1500R curve, which is, it's like the 49 inch one I have is 1800. So it's not as curved. This is a decent curve, but I think it's the perfect curve, you know, I guess you would call it size, or the perfect curvature for a 34 inch. So when you're sitting in front of the monitor, you're really not looking, like you're not moving your head both ways because of the curve. It kind of encapsulates you the way you would want. So you're, again, you're not moving your head, which is definitely nice. Now there is some lighting on the back. So you do get this sort of star-shaped design. It can only be red, and you can only either turn it off, make it blink, and that's it. So it's not RGB. It's not software reactive. And like most of these monitors, even a lot of them that we've seen too, this lighting is not powerful enough to light up behind your monitor, right? So if you have your monitor set against the wall, this really is not going to light up behind, like you see with like people who do put like RGB strips behind there. This is not bright enough for that. It's just to look good if somebody's looking from the other side. That's basically it. Now, I do have to say the stand on this is actually really, really nice. So the stand itself, where's my stand pictures? I guess the next page. The stand, it's, do I really not have stand pictures in this review? That's weird. I guess I'll have to put them back in there because for some reason, this is where they would be. But anyways, so the stand allows you to, of course, have vertical adjustments so you can move the stand up and down. You can also angle or tilt the stand, you know, up and down, but you can also swivel the monitor, and you can swivel it like a lot. You can really, really swivel it. I'll go ahead and update the review and put those pictures back in because they're supposed to be right here. But there is a lot of adjustment with this stand, which is really, really nice. And then as far as connections, you have two HDMI and two DisplayPort and an audio pass-through. Also, the power connection is your standard connection. So it's not one of those, like, if you lose the cable, you're kind of SOL. This one, you can buy just a normal power cable if you end up losing it, which is nice to see there as well. As far as performance goes, I like this. I played a lot of Apex Legends on this. You know, 3440 by 1440 at 165 hertz is awesome for gaming. If you're moving from a 60 or 75 hertz, even something like a 100 hertz, 120 hertz, all the way going all the way up to 165, you will notice a difference.
Yeah.
It's, you know, especially in faster paced games, you will really notice a difference. And like I said, for FPS games, you want to be like in on the action. And I, again, at 34 inches, you know, with this curve, I didn't feel like, again, like on, if I play full, like on this 49, like I'm going like this and I'm moving. And of course, if you get tired
after a while,
not even you get tired, but it takes time. And again, if you're a competitive gamer, like it takes time for you to move your head and see kind of what's going on. So I didn't feel like I had to do any of that. Also, you know, ultra wide form factor with the 1500R curve is really great for immersive games. So if you're playing a racing game or like a MMO or open world type game, this is going to be a great monitor for that as well. Like I said, it's, you know, within, If you're using DisplayPorts, you can choose, you know, your refresh rate all the way up to 165 hertz. It does support 144, 120, 60, and 50 there. Active Sync is not turned on by default, so you have to go into the monitor settings and turn Active Sync on, and then your settings for G-Sync or FreeSync will come up in your software. As I said, this is a great monitor for side-by-side. So if you're looking to be productive, you can do two windows side-by-side. They're not crunched or anything like that. So, you know, here I have YouTube on one side and, you know, our website on the other, but this could be Spotify on one side, your work on the other, pictures over here, and maybe, you know, I'm writing a review, so I'm writing it on this side. Perfect for dual, you know, dual windows. So again, if you are considering two monitors, maybe something like two 24-inch monitors, this can easily replace that. And there are no bezels if you do a single screen, which that's why I have my single screen here. I don't think I can go back to multiple screens after after using an ultra wide. So those are the things that I really like about this monitor. The menu system is pretty clunky. It's, again, it's that stock menu system we've seen on a bunch of other monitors as well.
Looks just like my monitor's menu.
Yeah, they're all pretty much the same here. And you have to use the buttons on the, you know, on the monitor itself. There's no joystick to make this easier or software. Also, I did notice when I did press on the buttons to move it, the monitor kind of wiggled a little bit. It had a little too much give than what I was used to, I guess, on yeah. certain stands. So that was something that was just not a major concern. Like I never felt like the display was going to fall off the stand, but it was just, it wiggled way too much for me for that. We did measure 100% of sRGB, 84% of Adobe RGB, and 90% of P3 color spaces. We have all the brightness levels. The brightest I was able to get this, the max brightness was, let's see here, at FPS mode in the, like there's different modes built into the monitor. FPS mode, max brightness that I measured was 331.7 nits. That's the brightest that I was able to get it. So, you know, that's pretty much right around the 350 that it's, you know, kind of measured for. Or actually, wait, no, 349 at the standard brightness, standard setting. So, again, you know, that's kind of what they sort of said, but not said, because they said it's HDR 400, which it's not. Right. So overall, I think that if you're somebody who is looking for a 34-inch ultra wide, you don't care about what the what the monitor looks like. You know, you might just put this on a monitor arm anyways or whatever. It's going to be a decent monitor with those type of specs. You are going to get good performance. It's just not to the quality of something like a Samsung or
but I think price plays a big role in this as well, right?
Yeah, so this is $369.99 right now on Amazon. Uh-huh. And there's a $20 off coupon, which really makes it a competitive monitor. If you look at other similar like specced out monitors, you can get some affordable ones that are about $30, $40 more expensive from like Gigabyte. That I feel like are a little bit better quality, but again, this is priced very aggressively. So I gave it a 7 out of 10 just because I was not a fan of them saying it's HDR 400 when it's not. Right. The stand, like I said, it just
kind of wobbly.
Yeah, just a little wobbly for me. The lighting on the back, like why couldn't it just be RGB? Why is it just red? And like I said, that menu system, again, you know, we've reviewed Gigabyte monitors that give you the software, or a lot of the monitors have the joystick now that just make it easy to flow through those monitors. Like pressing those buttons combined with how, you know, wobbly the stand was, that's why I gave it a 7 out of 10. But again, I think if you're going to just use this, it's going to be a solid monitor. Like I had no issues playing FPS games on it. It setup was easy. It does come with power cable and DisplayPort cable, so it's not like you have to buy anything extra. Yeah, so those are my kind of thoughts on the monitor itself.
Did you test the speakers at all?
It does not have speakers. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it does have an audio pass through. So if you are, you know, passing audio through via HDMI, you can pass that audio back out 3.5 millimeter jack. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So old man in the chat says the reviews are all mixed up with other Yian monitors on Amazon.
That's terrible. You would think a company like that would be able to figure out how to keep the reviews like tied to the product page you're on. It's terrible.
There'll be companies that like make one product and then they make a completely different product and they're like, why am I reading reviews of bed sheets and I'm looking for like a mirror, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or something on Amazon. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, check it out. Like I said, Yian, they're, you know, expanding into the US market. And I think that they're doing the right thing. Like they're making a competitively priced product. So if you're somebody who would rather spend the money on a better graphics card or something else, and you want to, you know, you're looking on Amazon and it is one of the least expensive monitors with this, with, you know, 34 inch, 165 Hertz, 3440 by 1440 that supports G-Sync and FreeSync. Like this is one of the least expensive options. So I think they're doing the right thing to kind of get their name out there. So yeah, check it out. Check out the review. And like I said, hopefully we'll check out some more products from them and see what else they have in store.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was the only review we did this week. It was fun reviewing a monitor. I was, you know,
I haven't done one in a while. I don't
play some games, you know, bust out my, color checker thing, whatever you call that these days, my Spider Pro, to test the brightness and colors and all that kind of stuff. So that was, a lot of fun there. We'll move from there to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build called Sirios. This one is from Dalan and he has this style. He's been doing this with a bunch of his builds that I've seen where he does hard tubing, but then he covers the hard tubing with what would you call that?
Like a mesh loom?
Yeah, like a mesh sort of.
It reminds me of like the nice like braided stainless steel braided like radiator hoses you see on like race cars, right?
It's
kind of that look. I love this build as well.
Yeah, so this is done inside, I believe, the Lianli 011 Dynamic. But yeah, just the color, right? And again, this is older hardware in here too. This is an old X470.
It was like a 3800X in there, I think.
Yeah, so it's not like it's brand new, but it's just like, it's so different because again, we all, you know, when we look at these builds, we don't see this type of style. It's just something, again, like typically this would all be, you see through hard tubing, you match the coolant, but with this, you know, it just gives it a different style. It's like more industrial kind of looking, I would say.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of like space stuff as well, right? With like NASA, because you see like on the astronauts, sometimes their suits, they would have like fittings on them as well with this type of tubing look. So it's cool.
Yeah.
I also think I couldn't tell for sure whether it's just like the metal behind the reservoir showing up. It almost looked like the fluid was tinted like just a little bit gray. I think it's probably just the color showing through the
this metal piece itself. Right here. Yeah. Probably.
But I do like this. This is another one of those builds where you're like, I think if I spent the time, you could do something like this outside of maybe that custom plate for that reservoir, right, where there's usually fans. But really, you could get someone with some a metal, you know, you could have a metal shop fabricate.
Yeah, cut like that piece for you. Yeah, but yeah, great build.
Very cool.
There. And like I said, we have links to I believe this is their builds.gg page. If we could go there, like I said, I'll show you. Like he's been doing these. Let's see some of the newer ones, but he did like this one with you know, you can see he's doing that with the tubing. Let me see, can I bring this up here? But like, you know, matching the colors and doing that. So he's been doing that on a bunch of his new builds. So go ahead and check that one out. And like I always say, we do have a full section of Case Mod Friday build, so you can just go through there and kind of see, you know, what you can do with PCs, really. And I need to get on there and get some, I don't know. I like my PC, but something will come down the line. I know Ryan's looking to eventually upgrade as well. Do something with you said you want to go smaller.
I go back and forth. I want to go smaller, and then I see like the builds and some reviews lately of the Fantex MV7. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that case is pretty sweet. But
would you make use of all that space though in that case?
No, that's the thing, is I would have like, I maybe add another radiator.
Okay.
Right. So have a third radiator in there, and continue to liquid cool it. But no, I wouldn't use all the space.
That would look nice in there. Would you go with white or black?
I'd probably do white in it, because I haven't ever done a white, full white build. So
it is nice having the white build. Yeah. I like the white build. It is.
But yeah, and then I'm like, maybe a small build. But if I do it with like this CPU, I don't like, I still like my motherboard, right? It's a nice Crosshair 8,
or
Crosshair Hero 8, and like the 5800X 3D. I don't want to like give that up. So
yeah,
who knows?
Lord
Taltosh is here.
Yeah, he said I won't go back to a full tower. Yeah, I mean, same here. Like as soon as I got down to this size, because so I have, I wish I could like move my camera without disconnecting it, but I have a Li & Li O11 Dynamic Mini. So I have the small one. It is legit. I brought it to CES, Ryan. I mean, you saw the size of it.
It's perfect.
And with
what you've got in there, right?
Yeah, and it's so great that I have an extended ATX motherboard in there. Even I have a large graphics card in there, and it all fits. And again, I'm using all NVMe storage in it too, so I don't have to worry about like store. Like, it is the perfect case. And he said his build is all white as well. Yeah, white builds. I mean, it just looks so nice sitting on your desk. It just does. Ryan, you got to go to the white side.
Maybe
your case is nice. I mean, I reviewed that case. I mean, that's a big case.
Yeah, it's a very nice. It's a very nice, but very large case.
Yeah, that I couldn't imagine having. I don't even think that probably wouldn't with my 49-inch monitor. That would not fit on my desk, unless I'd have to put the monitor all the way over. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, we'll see what Ryan does next. I'm kind of excited to see what Ryan does for either upgrading or doing his next build. Like I said, I just did mine like over the holiday New Year. So I won't be doing a new personal build for a while now. And I'm pretty set on all of that. Maybe upgrade the graphics card eventually from a 3090 to a 4090 if I really want to go, or whatever comes next after that. Maybe that would be the time to upgrade. But we'll move on to news, and we'll talk about the RTX 4060 Ti and Radeon RX 7600. All the reviews came out. We obviously didn't review either of these cards, but I went through and I read a bunch of reviews, watched videos. I would say, at least for me, I don't know about you, Ryan, but like when it comes to graphics card reviews, I always like Tech Power Up is typically who I like the written review, and then like, you know, Gamers Nexus probably for the most part for video stuff. I did see this, and I really don't want to comment on it because I didn't really get to see it, but I saw it on Reddit that Jay's Two Cents put out a video and then they took it down. I don't know what happened with all. I didn't watch any of it. I don't know if you have any.
I'll say I agree with like the Tech Power Up comments, right? And the reason number one, they're like good. Like Wizard spends so much time on those and they're so thorough. They have a huge suite of games that they review.
Like 25 games. Yeah, that's
a lot. It's insane.
Yeah.
But they usually, for every launch, they've got like the reference and then multiple cards, right? So you can like go through those reviews. So I'll read like the reference review usually. Not all the way through, but I'll make my way through most of it. And then I'll kind of compare like numbers between the add-in board vendors and the like Founders Edition or reference card, and just kind of compare and see like, okay, value wise, what do I think of it? Things like that. So yeah, definitely check their stuff out. I didn't see Jay's video. I saw the thumbnail for it, but it was a time I couldn't watch it. And I was like, okay, I need to check his video out later. And then I saw on social media, like, his apology and kind of referencing them taking it down. So I don't know, you know, I didn't see it. I'm not going to comment on it either.
All right. We'll go through these. So we'll talk about all the 40 series cards, because they have all been announced. NVIDIA did announce all these cards. There are reviews out of the 4060 Ti, 8 gig, and the RX 7600. Now, just to go over pricing so we can get an idea of kind of where these cards will land, the RX 7600 is the, and again, these are all pricing. This is like the starting at price or the Founders Edition prices. So the RX 7600, $269. Then we have the RTX 4060. That's going to be $300. Then we have the RTX 4060 Ti 8 gig, $400. And then the RTX 4060 Ti 16 gig, $500. So again, we only have reviews currently of the 4060 Ti 8 gig and the RX 7600. Now, talking about, I have all my sheet of notes here. So the RTX 4060 Ti 8 gig, it's basically on par with the old school RTX 2080 Ti, which really doesn't say much. And I really hate when NVIDIA puts this into their like deck that's like, oh, it's better than, you know, this card that's two generations behind, like that. I don't know. But if you look at it, if you're comparing it to the previous gen card, which is the RTX 3060 Ti, and that came out the end of 2020, basically 2.5 years ago, it was the same price. So it did launch at the same price at $399. The RTX 4060 Ti 8 gig is only 12% better. Two and a half years later at the same price.
Yeah.
So that doesn't look really good.
No. I mean, I think I understand why they put those like two generation old cards in there, because it doesn't make sense from an upgrade standpoint necessarily at this level, this 4060 Ti, to go from 3000 series to 4000 series. But maybe if you're someone like me on a 2070 Super, you know, you could kind of see that jump. If it's doing that much better than a 2080, okay, then it's going to be even better than my 2070. But yeah.
So that doesn't look really good. And then an old man in the chat said he saw a review where the 4060 Ti was within 1-2% of the 3060 Ti at 1440p. Yeah, the 1440p performance is not great.
Not great.
Just real quickly, it is 8% better than the RX 6700 XT. And it's 25% better than the RX 7600, which also just launched. But I think for the RTX 4060 Ti, it is going to be that 1080p card. It's going to play 1080p titles maxed out over 60 FPS you're going to get with this card. And you're actually going to get that with the RX 7600 as well. These are the 1080p cards. At 14, you can push the 4060 Ti 8 gig at 1440p. You may have to turn some settings down. But the one thing, and I wouldn't call it a saving grace, because, I mean, $400 for a 1080p card is still a lot. Yeah,
it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel good.
Especially an 8 gig card.
Yeah, and 8 gig of VRAM too. Yeah. And again, if you're playing at 1080p, I don't think that makes really a difference. But again, once you move up to 1440, that's going to become a concern. So if you are gaming at 1080p, you're really not going to run into an issue when it comes to VRAM. But the saving grace of, I guess, is that it does support DLSS 3, which is going to give you, it's going to give you that performance back, right?
Yep,
it's going to do that. But yeah, I don't feel great about the car. I mean, just specifically the RTX 4060 Ti, even though, like I said, it is the exact same price as the 3060 Ti launched at. Yeah. But maybe if we got like 25% better performance over the previous generation, maybe I could see. Maybe. But 12%, two and a half years later at the same price, I don't know. That just doesn't, I don't know. And again, I mean, I reread it. I'm sure everybody else does. I mean, people aren't happy with the price and the performance at that level. I don't know what else to really say about it.
There was just that time period of the last couple of years where they could get away with these price increases, and it's gonna be hard for that price to come back down to what the consumer feels like is acceptable.
I can see it on the high end.
The performance come up so high.
I can see the price increase kind of on the higher end, like the 4090 and stuff. I mean, that's a massive price as well, but the performance was, you know, kind of crazy. Yeah. But this,
graphs like a graph that shares performance increase across generations and price increase across generations. I'm sure somebody has it, and it would be very easy to make. Right? Like, do they follow the same line, or does one have quite the hockey curve at the end with relation to price in the 4000 series?
Yeah. So that's kind of that card. Just don't feel great about it. I think everybody who's like, they want to get a new NVIDIA card, right? They've been waiting, and every time one comes out, they're like excited. And then they like see the reviews and the non-DLSS3 performance and all that stuff, and they're like, yeah, I'll wait to the next one. And then now we're at the, you know, that was like, you know, the 4080, and they're like, wait to the next one. Then there was the 4070 Ti. They're like, wait to the next one. Then we had 4070, and they're like, I'll see what the next one is. And it's like, I just don't think, you know, gamers are really happy at this point with NVIDIA.
And, you know, the AMD option is there, but for someone like me who's like streams and does things with features that NVIDIA has, right? AMD has some of these solutions as well, but like NVIDIA Broadcast is something that I use on a regular basis to, you know, do the stream and other items. So I'm like stuck in that ecosystem, and I have more confidence that NVIDIA will continue to improve that and add things on, right? Like they did with the eye tracking, where it would make it look like all of that, that I know they're going to continue working on. So it's like, oh, you could look at the alternative if you're not happy with NVIDIA. Well, I've kind of put myself in this position to rely on those extra tools that they provide.
It's just like with like, you know, phones, like you're in this ecosystem and you're kind of, you know.
Yeah, to make the change is a big change.
Yeah, for sure. So these cards will sell a lot. It will be a volume card based on price, right? I 12% two and a half years later, 12% increase at the same price is, I don't know. I'm just not very happy about that. Now, the RX 7600, of course, from AMD, that's going to be about 9% better performance than the RX 6600 from the previous generation. Like I said, it's 25% slower than the RTX 4060 Ti. I really think with this card, AMD is targeting, again, it's $269. They're going to be targeting that RTX 4060 at $300. So I think those two cards, like the RTX 4060 and the RX 7600, will pretty much go head to head. And those will be high volume cards based on their price. These prices, these are all just reference prices. You get a Strix card, you get an Aorus card, you're paying.
Throw in more, overclocking and cooling. Yeah.
Yeah. You're paying more money than that too. So, $500,
like $50 to $100 price increase sometimes on just those add-in board cards at the minimum, right?
Yeah,
you look at, like you said, a Strix card, and those prices jump up quite a bit depending on the model.
Like I said, like, you know, you get around that $500 price range for an entry level card. I mean, these cards are being really marketed as 1080p cards, and I assume that's what you would call entry level. right? A 1080p.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, any lower than that, nobody's. When's the last time you could buy a 720 monitor?
Or like, right? you call the next card down. You call the next card down, like the esports card, right? So you're playing like Counter-Strike games that don't require a lot, you know. But still, yeah, the price is just the issue. I mean, obviously, I'm not all of that upset at $269 for the RX 7600.
No.
Then that's not horrible. That feels
better.
Yeah, that feels a lot better. But so talking about the RX 7600 at $269. AMD's Arc A770.
AMD? You mean Intel?
Intel's Arc A770 is only 10% slower than the RX 7600. And we have a story where you can pick up that card for $199 now. So
seems like a good deal.
Yeah, seems like, you know, that would be kind of, you know, we'll bring up that story.
Was that A7? You said A770, didn't you?
Oh, this is the A750. Sorry.
Yeah, this is 750.
Yeah, yeah. But no, the A770 is 10% slower, and you can pick that up in the mid to 200s. You know, and again, if Intel does a really better job on their drivers, they can become a lot really competitive with this kind of lower end going against an RTX 4060. In an RX 7600, and they could be that third player in that kind of space, which would be really great for Intel, I think. But overall, these lower end cards, not, yeah. I just think there's gamers out there that were waiting for these, you know, and they're like, still not.
It's not there.
You know, I think it's like one of those things like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'd be like all the time I'm like looking for apartments and stuff here in San Diego. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to find that one that's going to be like good, you know, really good and like a really good price. And like, you just don't find it. Yeah. You know, I think it's the same forever. Thing. Yeah. It's the same thing with these cards. So that's kind of what we have to say. Like I said, if you are interested in these cards, go out and check out the reviews. Like I said, that Ryan and I both really suggest Tech Power Up for that. They have great reviews, and not just the reference, they have a bunch of aftermarket cards as well. So check all of that out. We'll move on to our news. Talking about the RTX 40 series, we're finally getting those mini cards, which I'm a huge fan of.
Have them in the 3000 series?
I don't remember.
And even 20 series. I feel like the last mini I remember is like one I bought. I bought a Asus GTX 970.
Yeah, that was like everybody had minis of that card.
Right.
So a bunch of companies, and these are going to be the RTX 4060 non-TIs for the most part. So here's one from Colorful. It's just super, super small.
This will definitely find their place.
Yeah, the Gainward has the 4060 Ti Pegasus. Which again, very, very small car. These are like really good for those like 1080p mini ITX builds that a lot of people have. Palette, their 4060 Ti Storm X here. And then the Inno3D 4060 Compact. And then the RTX 4060 Solo from Zotac, which is tiny. Tiny.
I mean, it barely goes past the PCIe slot, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Hey, these are fair. Which one would you get? I kind of like this one from Colorful, honestly.
I've really been enjoying the Zotac cooler design lately, just with their like rounded. This one doesn't show it as much.
Yeah. Right?
But their new design that they've kind of put out this last generation, I've enjoyed. So yeah.
I kind of like this Gainward one though. I don't know.
And like all those other brands, like Gainward, Palette, what was the other one? Inno3D.
Inno3D, Colorful.
Like those brands, I feel like you don't see as often in the US as you do Zotac.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that plays into my like familiarity, brand familiarity, and just support and availability.
Yeah. Lord Taltosh said, two slots for 40 series, who would have thought? Yeah, finally getting down to like our normal form factors here too. Which is definitely nice, especially. He said that Colorful is thick. Yeah. Especially like I said, if you're doing a smaller end build, three, a lot of these mini ITX cases do not
support it.
Yeah, don't support three slots. So, or if you have an, like an older case and you want to do like vertical GPU, they also don't support more than, you know, newer cases. Yeah, in the past like year, couple years, but go back a couple years, they don't support more than two slot. Like my old Corsair case, what was that, the 680X, did only supported two slot in that,
right?
In the vertical placement. So,
well, I don't think mine really does either, but I had to cut something off my GPU bracket to make it work.
Gotcha. But also on the CPU and GPU side of things, Intel, and I was waiting for them to do this. They finally announced they're called ARC balanced builds, basically putting an ARC GPU with an Intel CPU. And they start at 423 with a GPU and CPU. And then they have systems as well, which will start at $899. This makes sense.
I don't know why they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, I think they were kind of trying to gauge how
cards would be accepted. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it is pretty standard because, again, AMD's not really doing this either. Now, you'll have retailers do this by putting like a Ryzen with a Radeon card, but like AMD doesn't have any, at least recently, doesn't have like a thing where, you know, they, where the retailer gets the discount and they put that disc, like this is through Intel, and they will be, you know, if you bundle these two, it's a different price. So
yeah, it looks like it. Component builds at Micro Center down in the bottom, a 12600K and an A750.
Yeah. But yeah, it makes sense. I think when ARC launched, I was like, yeah, when are they going to do it? Because that just will get more people to buy them. So yeah, pretty cool. And like I said, these ARC cards are good for 1080p cards. So yeah, so that's definitely interesting. And like I said, we did talk about the ARC A750 8 gig is now only $199 currently at Newegg, $200. For a graphics card, that seems pretty normal. $199 currently. So if you wanted to pick this up and try out an Intel card, only $200. So we have the link for that.
Not a bad option.
Yeah. If you want to pick one up, we have the link in the bottom of that article. Talking about 7600, this leaked before the launch. But ASRock, I reviewed a bunch of their Steel Legend motherboards. They put out their first Steel Legend graphics card. So this is their RX 7600 Steel Legend. I actually think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I like this.
And again, this is an
angle design.
This is a white card. The Steel Legend motherboards are designed as white. Three RGB fans, which again, Steel Legend is like their entry level, I would say, for their motherboards. So having three RGB fans on this is pretty good, I'd say.
But I mean, their Phantom Gaming is their higher tiered piece, right?
Phantom Gaming and Tai Chi are higher,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is cool.
Yeah, full cover backplate.
I like the look of that too.
Yeah, with the white camo. So this will be available. Full length through. It goes far past the PCB there, but yeah, cool to see, you know, ASRock again. We saw their first graphics cards a while back, and then again, like, we saw their first Tai Chi graphics card, and now they have this Steel Legend graphics card. So yeah, it makes sense to bring all their kind of product lines together.
Sure.
And like I said, I think that'll be a good card if you're looking at a 7600. You get a bunch of RGB lighting there, white. It will match up pretty perfectly if you do have an ASRock Steel Legend motherboard too. So it completely makes sense for that. So you can check that one out. Corsair launched a new case, and this is their mini ITX case. So this is going to be their 2000D. I wanted your thoughts on this. This is the typical, what would you call it? Like a,
it's kind of like
the Xbox. Like the Xbox kind of.
I was just thinking the other day, I was like, man, I haven't seen a new case from Corsair in a while, it felt like. And then this thing popped up. I was like, all right,
they did launch like the higher end D series, like the 7,000D or 5,000D.
I guess. Maybe it's just we haven't, I feel like maybe we haven't reviewed one.
Yeah, we haven't reviewed Corsair product in a while.
So it's okay. I'm not a fan of this Xbox, like you said, Xbox style tower, like thin tower. I don't know. It's okay.
And everybody has one of these, right? It's all kind of the same.
And they design, all look very similar.
Yeah. They all look very similar. Now, again, this design makes sense because it's small. It fits on your desk. Again, it looks much like an Xbox. Taltosh said NZXT H1 clone. Yeah. We reviewed a height case that looks almost the same as well. That's a little bit different.
It looks, reminds me of the height case.
Yeah. Two versions. So there is just this, the version that doesn't come with any fans. So that's the 5,000 or the 2000D airflow. And then there's the 2000D RGB airflow. I'm really a fan that they're making, at least currently, they're all airflow, because if you put tempered glass on this, your components inside are going to get pretty warm. Yeah. There's like the exploded view of it. Yeah, black and white, you know. Mini ITX, obviously. I think these will do well. And again, it's that form factor that everybody likes, right? I don't know if we have pricing on these yet.
I don't think I'd seen them because they, I feel like they said, reach out to your Corsair dealer or something. I saw maybe it's a different product. Shop now.
No, that's the
oh, that's build. The small form factor builds. Yeah,
let's just go to gaming PC cases.
200.
200. That's the one with the three RGB fans, and I assume it would come with one of their controllers. The one without it is 139. So not horrible prices. I feel like you are paying that Corsair tax a little bit, because there are similar cases that are around 100, 119. So $139.99. But yeah, I think these will do well, and I think a lot of people will buy them, especially like one like this that's going to come with the three fans that has the RGB all ready to go, you know. Yeah,
and a controller. Like, yeah, said, hopefully they're throwing something in there to control that.
I assume so.
I just tried clicking on those pictures while you're sharing the screen.
Oh, that's not how that works. Yeah. It does say it supports, of course, the new 40 series graphics cards. Yeah, it doesn't have tech specs. Okay, am I not clicking something? Nothing.
It's further down on the screen. You got to scroll down in the page.
Oh, it would, like, I did that. It like wasn't letting me scroll for a second. Okay, here we go. Tech specs. Does it say that it comes with?
Say what it's included. I bet if you went to overview and scroll down, it'll be there, because they usually. Look at that.
Unless they just come with a splitter. You know what I mean? And then,
yeah. Is it called one of their IQ cases? Because a lot of times if they do include it, they put IQ in the name.
No, but they took that away the last generation too. Who knows? But in any case, I think these will do well. They look like they're designed good, you know, for cooling. Supporting the latest graphics cards, all of that. So if you are going to be doing a mini ITX build, it's a new case out there from Corsair if you're a Corsair fan. So, yeah. So go ahead and check that out. Now, I saw this. I wanted your thoughts on this. So Samsung unveiled a rollable OLED panel. So it's like you roll it up. I don't think we have pictures. So like, it rolls like they, you know, they, it rolls up.
I guess.
Do you see like the rollable? I just don't see how this like saves space. Because like, wouldn't you just want something?
What am I doing with this? What am I doing with the space anyway? I don't know.
Because like, here's the thing. If I have a device, right?
Okay.
Say the device is like this big and I roll it up, then I have to put this cylinder somewhere that I've rolled up, right? Whereas if it's a foldable tablet, I can fold it and make it smaller and then like put it in a backpack. That's the only thing I don't understand about the rollable. I guess maybe this, again, could, this technology could be used to make a foldable device more.
Or if it was like integrated into something, like into a table, and you could like just pull it up like a reverse screen projector, right? And it like pops up, and then you could just like pop it back down, and it's just rolled up to save space. I don't know. I'd want to see it in person, I guess, to see.
Yeah, they say the entire thing resembles like a scroll. I mean, I guess. I just don't, like, I'm thinking of like a practical application, whether it's a tablet, whether it's, you know, I guess this would be good at like schools, right? Because you remember the teacher would bring like the.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Is like, if you just do it opposite, like it comes up from your table or something. But yes, when they'd pull down the thing and.
Yeah, I guess I could see that as being the application.
Gotta look at the map.
Yeah, and like Old Man says, you could hide a huge screen if it could roll away. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess more in like the TV applications. I was just thinking of more of like mobile type thing. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, the one that I have, the mobile screen or the portable screen, it's just a flat LCD, right? That has a little kickstand and connections for power and video. And it's like you said, I just throw it in with my laptop. It sits flat with my laptop, and I just slide it in my backpack.
The best application for these would be like TV that you could roll up, or a learning device that you could roll up and down, right? Pretty cool. I do like seeing really cool display tech, because it's like,
sometimes though I feel like they're just trying shit for the hell of it, like trying to solve a problem that might not even exist.
I think this solves some problems. Like I said, more like for learning and like home TV or whatever, where you could roll down this display, and then when you don't want it, you can roll it up. It doesn't take up space. Like our TVs take, and this monitor takes up space, right? But if I'm in a multi-use, something, I can roll it away and have my, there's windows here. So if I want to enjoy my view, I can roll away my TV.
Yeah.
Whatever. Tall Tosh said proof of concept. Yeah. So like I said, I think it's pretty cool. We'll see if that becomes anything, in the future. Another thing I wanted your opinion on is Asus came out with this really cool looking keyboard for like,
opinions.
Yeah, this is like this is called their Marshmallow.
It reminds me of the Logitech.
I
don't remember the name of the product. It's okay. It's not my style necessarily. Are they mechanical or are they membrane?
I believe they're membrane.
If they were mechanical switches, maybe. It kind of looks like I said, a mix between that Logitech keyboard they came out with and the ASIO Cascade, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the colorway that's reminding.
It's a colorway. It's more of like that circular kind of. Again, this is going to be like an office product. It's interesting. But Asus has this whole studio thing now that they're doing. Like again,
I see this like in dorm rooms. Where I really see this like the college
Design studio type thing.
Yeah.
I like the colors too. The two colors.
Yeah, I like green.
Oat milk and green tea latte is what they're calling
them.
Very thin too. Pretty cool
keyboard over here.
Yeah, that's what it is. Which one would you get? You would get the green one?
The green, yeah.
I like the other one. I like this one. All right, well, that's the new Asus keyboard. We talked about Amazon launched Echo products last week. This week they launched their brand new tablet. So this is the Fire Max 11, most powerful tablet. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And they have it kind of set up to like look like the iPad Pros look. And I'm like reading. And then I'm like, 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah. It's their biggest and most powerful. It doesn't surprise me. It's only got 4 gigs of RAM. Like my kids' Fire 10s, like the kid version. Those things are like dog.
It's so terrible. Crazy too, because it's like, so I use Fire TV sticks for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a Fire TV, like an actual Fire TV now, but like they never upgraded the RAM on those. Like, it made no sense. I was like, put some more RAM. Like, I'll pay more for like more RAM. I feel like Amazon's one of those companies that like just skimps out on the RAM.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, this is like, they're positioning this as like against an iPad.
Well, their OS is terrible too.
It's
a bastardized Android that I hate whenever like my kids complain about something on their tablet and I have to work on it. I'm like, oh, God, I hate working on this thing. The only good thing they've done is, well, sort of good. They put in the micro SD card, right? So you can have additional storage. But the way they've implemented it, like, you think you could, let me move some games over to this storage or let me move some files around. They make it nearly impossible to do anything like that.
Yeah.
It's,
I feel like the reason Amazon hardware is, especially like tablets and stuff, is successful is because they have a massive platform and because it's significantly cheaper than like a competition, whether it be like a Galaxy Tab or a iPad. These are significantly cheaper.
Yep.
But yeah, $299 it starts out. And then the bundle, which comes with, I assume, all of this is $329. I mean, that's not bad for a tablet. Right.
No, that's a great price. But I have a iPad that's like 8 years old, the first Pro, and I'm sure it'll probably run circles around this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's the new from Amazon. If you want to check it out, if you're looking to get a tablet, like Ryan and I said, though, the OS is bad, but you can sideload your own OS.
But I don't want to.
If I'm
buying something new, I don't want to have to.
Yeah. You might as well just get like a base Android tablet. Really,
right? What, maybe one of the new Pixel ones, right?
Yeah, or something. Yeah, so yeah, that is new from Amazon. Some gaming news. We talked about Grand Theft Auto 6 last week. There's a new rumor that it's going to come out between April 2024 and March 2025. That's the new rumor. I was saying 26, I'm still going to say 26. Okay. I'm still putting it out there that it's going to come out in 26. I would say it's going to come out January 26. Maybe holiday season, actually, in 26. Who knows? What is your guess for when it comes out?
I don't know. I don't even care. I mean, I do, but I hope sometime in 2024.
That seems too fast.
Okay.
But like you said, those videos that were leaked last year
looked like so good already, and I'm like, they've got all that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about game development.
Do you think, though, you know what would be really cool is if they did like a documentary on making the game? You would assume
that would be very cool.
You would assume they would be doing that, right? Like, that would only make sense.
Just have cameras in there, right? Like, you're already doing the work. Just get people in there to talk about it. And
yeah, like you would think, like, at least something, right? I mean, we have seen that with other games, big games. But they do like a little mini documentary thing. That would be really cool to see. I think, especially for a game that has this much hype, that'd be something cool to see. Yeah. Also, in gaming, Metro Last Light Complete Edition is free on Steam right now.
I just went and grabbed it.
It expires tomorrow, but you can go ahead and pick it up. We have the link to the Steam store. Yeah, it expires, like I said, on the 25th. So it's the 24th now. So if you're listening to this live or you're listening to it before the 25th, I think it ends like the end of the day on the 25th, possibly. It says before May 25th. But it comes with all the DLCs for the game and everything. So the game is 10 years old, but it's still, like I said, if you want to pick it up, we use this game to benchmark stuff previously, so it is, like I said, it's a good game, and I said it's free, so you can't complain. So like I said, we have the link in the article if you want to check that out as well. And that is going to be it for news for the week. Coming next week, we have a new case, which I can't tell you about, but it's small. That's the only thing I can tell you. And then we have a new storage product, and I can't tell you what it is, but it's the first one that we're reviewing.
Cool.
So
I gotta guess then.
Yeah, you can guess what it is. It's the
first one. It's new storage and it's small. Yeah. All right.
Well, the case is small. The storage is
case also is small,
but the storage is small too. Yeah. But yeah, that will be that stuff's coming up next week. We have a lot of cool stuff coming too. And again, over the weekend and through next week is going to be Computex stuff. So check out the site. We'll have a ton of articles up there for Computex. I'll be working a lot. I mean, I'm not going to get any sleep. Be working, getting all the stuff up. Hopefully we see, are you excited for Computex at all? Is there anything that
I'll keep an eye on it? I'm not,
I think
Kate necessarily
cases would be what I'm excited for. Mm-hmm. We're not
some coolers.
We're not at a launch period for high-end graphics cards. That's usually typically exciting. We're not at new CPU launch either. So we're not going to see there are a lot of times at Computex you see like just a motherboard sitting there that says like unnamed chipset. Like we're not at that point. Obviously, we always look for the InWin case, right? We look for the special edition InWin case.
We haven't seen a special InWin case in a while.
Yeah,
I don't think they did one last year.
Didn't they? Maybe. No. I don't remember. But well, hopefully, like I said, we'll look for some cool stuff from the show. I think there'll be some cool stuff. Hopefully. But yeah, that's pretty much it. At the end, of course, we talk about if we've done anything interesting or cool. And there was something that
I haven't done anything cool.
I watched. It's non-tech related, but I thought it was a good movie. It's on Amazon Prime. It's about them signing Michael Jordan to Nike.
Oh yeah,
And that has a lot of people in it.
Has a lot of people in it.
It has does. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, the guy from Ozark, Chris Tucker's in it, which is I haven't seen him in since like the Rush Hour movies. Really, there's a lot of people. It was good. I watched it last night. Omega Cypher, I believe that's Bobby. What's up, man? Good to see you. You're getting the end of the show here. We're talking about stuff we've watched or tech-related things we've done in the past week. And said, wasn't the InWin D F1 edition last year? Maybe, but it wasn't a new one. We always want them, like, we want to see something new and crazy from
InWin. Because like they did the Z Tower that was like that aluminum one that twisted up because I've got that up was... here. Then they had the Yong, which was like this rounded thing with holes in it.
Yeah.
And then they had the Day that had all the panels, glass panels that would
we saw that
at CES 2020. So yeah, I don't think we have seen one since then.
So maybe they're working on something crazy that maybe it has AI. Who knows?
Maybe. I know Old Man was in the chat, but he hasn't piped in here. But he was correct on his guess of the free mystery game last week. It is Death Stranding. It is free until tomorrow at 10 a.m. So get that if you don't have it. Oh, right there.
Yeah.
I missed it then. And then mystery game tomorrow. So I went and grabbed Death Stranding real quick here because that was one I wanted to play, but didn't want to pay for it. I'm sure I won't get around to playing it, but I'll have.
There are a lot of games that I've done. Like, we play games once a week. I need to see, that's the thing. I need to review more monitors so I can play more games. I think that's.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. I have some really cool keyboards as well that we'll be taking a look at here, too. So we have a lot of stuff going on. But we are going to, of course, end the stream. Ryan will pop over on Twitch. So if you are watching on Twitch, the stream's going to go down and then just come right back up with Ryan hosting. We're going to be playing some Apex Legends. I'm excited to play. I've like let out some steam here at the halfway through this week. And Taltosh says he has 1,249 games in his Steam library. That's a lot. But yeah, we'll be over there. Like I said, again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go over there and we'll have some gaming, hang out with Ryan and tell him how bad he is at the game. I'm not much better, if I'm even better at all these days. I haven't been playing too good these past couple of weeks, so hopefully we change that around. So thanks everybody for coming out in the chat. Of course, Old Man, Taltosh, Omega Cypher, everybody in the chat live, and of course everybody that listens later, and we will see everybody next week.